Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
We are your people. We need to hear a word from you. They don't need to hear my opinion. They don't need to hear what I think about it. Lord, they need to hear from you. So we invite a fresh anointing to fall in this place, that we will have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And not only that, Lord, but a will, a conviction, a determination to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Paul said to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, not some things, not most things, not many things, not here, there, and whatever things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I was a little girl, I always did love to read, and one of my favorite stories was The Little Engine That Could. And some of you might be familiar with that story. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm going to summarize it. I'm going to pull it up from my memory, amen. It may not be exactly how they wrote it, but it's what I got out of the story. Is that all right? So there was this little train that that had a load to carry, and she was in the train station with a lot of the other trains, and she was one of the smaller trains, and there was a destination that had to be reached, and in order to get there, you had to go over this huge hill, and it was even tough for some of the larger trains to be able to get over this hill, but at some point, this little engine, she had to get over the hill. Did you hear me say she? The engine was a woman, was a female, and she was determined to get over the hill. She tried and she failed. She tried and she failed. She tried and she failed. But one time, she kept plugging and chugging her way up that hill, and come what may, she made it over to the other side of the hill. And I was always excited for her because she reminded me of myself. Even as a child, something about her story resonated in my spirit, and that was before I even understood what my name meant. My name means one who overcomes life's obstacles, one who makes her own way. My mother used to make me recite that to people that would come over our house, and I didn't know what those big words meant. I was embarrassed to even have to say those words, but now I understand what life's obstacles are. Now I understand what it means to have to make my own way. In other words, I'm not going to go in the way of the world. I'm going to go in the way of God. Is anybody with me so far? So the little engine overcame the obstacle that was set in front of her, and she was able to make her own way. The Lord told me that Abundant Life Ministries is the little church that could. We don't allow obstacles to take us out. We let them shape us and mold us and evolve us into who God intends for us to be. We are driven by the word of God. We are designed by the promises of God. We are devoted to the will of God. So that being the case, every setback is an opportunity for a comeback. Every exodus is an opportunity for some excellence. Every obstacle is an opportunity to go beyond where we ever believed we could go. Now, we have to be careful about what we say, because there's some words that we really don't have the authority to use. We might say always and never, but we can't mean it because we don't have the authority to speak in absolutes. We will prove ourselves wrong every time we say, I always do this, or I never do that. At some point in time, you're going to do it. Only God has the authority to speak in absolutes. So today's theme is never say never. Never say never. God has called us to take his word to the world. He's been pruning and perfecting and training us and teaching us and pouring into us so that we would have an understanding of how our message and our reflection or how we present ourselves is in alignment and not in contradiction. Is anybody with me today? And so today, we're going to take a look at a mighty ministry of a man of God found in Daniel chapter 1. Go with me now to Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to look at this whole chapter, but the Lord is going, he's going to breeze us right on through it. Amen. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared. Daniel. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Anybody recognize Nebuchadnezzar? And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands being Nebuchadnezzar's hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Now, quickly, let me just say that as a result of the disobedience of God's people, God sent prophets into the nation of God and told them that he was going to let Nebuchadnezzar rise up against them and they were going to be overtaken. So the time has come in chapter 1 of Daniel where they have been taken over by a king that is not a man of God. But God allowed him to rise up over his kingdom because, or his people, because of their disobedience. 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, king chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. So, the king instructed Ashpenaz to get the best men of Israel who are being taken into exile, who no longer have a home or a land, who are now under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar, but find the best men and train them and teach them so that they can serve the king. Are you with me? Verse 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So the king honored the chosen young men by providing food and wine from his own table. So it was the best food in the kingdom, the best wine in the kingdom, and they were being trained for 3 years in order to be prepared to serve the king. Is anybody still out there? Verse 6, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel, verse 8, resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should we see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king then would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now, Daniel decided that he, although exiled, was not going to bow down to the ways of the Babylonians, even though he had been set apart as the best of the best and was given the best food and drink to eat. But that food was not healthy. Just because it was from the king's table, just because it tasted good, didn't mean it was the best food for his body. And Daniel, how many of you know he's a servant of the Lord? Daniel, servant of the Lord, he would not compromise himself, even though he had been taken into exile, even though he was being told what to do. So he says, let's put it to the test. Stop bringing me all this fatty food, greasy food, unhealthy food, and let me and my three boys, we just gonna eat vegetables and water for 10 days. And I don't know if in any Lenten fast you ever just did fruits and vegetables. You start to see a glow in your skin. You start to have more energy. At first you're scared because it's like, it's not enough food. I'm going to get full. But you can eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want. Every time you get hungry, put a celery in your mouth. Every time you get hungry, get some carrots and juice them or something. You can eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want so that you don't get hungry. And Daniel told the chief priest official to let them do this in order for them to see that not only are they going to be better, but they're going to be stronger and wiser and more healthy. Does anybody know we going somewhere? 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys didn't eat vegetables only for the rest of their life. They went on a fast so that they could be better than they were, so that they would stand out among the other men, and so that not Nebuchadnezzar would recognize them, but that God would know that they trusted in him no matter what their situation was, no matter what obstacles came up against them. Because, you know, at some point you got to have some protein in your life, amen? That's how we know they didn't do this forever, but they did it for a season, for a while, just like we're doing, in order that they could be better and wiser in God. Verse 18 says, At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the entire kingdom. I'm still talking about never say never. Because there's some things that we have to understand about this man, Daniel, and that we have to appreciate as we are embarking upon our own fasting situation. Daniel had an inner life and he had an outer life. In his inner life, he nurtured and developed his spirit. He prayed to God 3 times a day without fail. He did not forsake his relationship with God just because he had been taken from his home and had been separated from his people. He continued to serve the Lord no matter what the circumstances are, because his inner life was rich. His inner life was intact. His inner life had a deep reservoir that he could draw from because he knew of the reality and the power of God. Daniel was a man who took out time to nurture and to develop his inner life. If you don't develop your inner life, your outer life is going to be out of whack. You've got to start with your inner self. Who are you beyond what we can see? What's going on the inside of your brain? What kind of thoughts do you think about? How often does God come up in your daily life? What does your inner life look like? A palace or a shack? What does your inner life look like? A grocery store or someplace that ain't got nothing in it? I couldn't think of what the opposite of a grocery store was. You get the point. Are you full or are you in lack? Do you have everything you need on the inside of you, or are you wanting? Do you feel like you need something that you just don't have? Because when you develop your inner life through the word of God, then you will find yourself in a place of fulfillment that you didn't even know existed. And fulfillment doesn't mean all your bills are paid, you got everything you want, that, you know, you got all kind of savings in your bank account. That's not fulfillment, because there's a whole lot of rich people committing suicide. Come on now, help me somebody. There's a whole lot of rich people committing suicide out there. Fulfillment is when we have the inside of us, within everything on the inside of us, has this understanding of who God is and that we've been created by him. And if we've been created by him, he cares enough about us to look out for us. And the only time we don't have what we need is when we decided to get off track from where he decided or desired for us to go. So we've got to cultivate and develop our inner life. And that means that it doesn't matter what happens in life, you still got to develop your inner life, because life is going to bring about some change. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to be born. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to leave. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's going to step on your toes. Somebody's going to make you feel like you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. And if you have a cultivated inner life, if your heart is right with God, then you're not going to let that wipe you out. You might have to step back for a minute and deal with it, but you're not going to get taken out of the game because of the vicissitudes of life. You got to have a cultivated inner life like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they didn't know what was coming up. They didn't know what life was going to bring. Help me somebody. But if they had not developed an inner life, then the outer life would have been out of whack when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into the fiery furnace. There would have been a different outcome if the inner life had not been cultivated, because the outer life had gotten thrown into the fire. There would have been been a different outcome when he threw Daniel into the lion's den. Now, that wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. That was a whole nother king that didn't know nothing about what came before him. But Daniel stayed all night in the lion's den, and not one lion touched him because he had a cultivated and developed inner life. I need you to understand what I'm saying, because the men that threw the three Hebrew boys into the fire got burned to a crisp, and not a hair on their head was singed. I'm talking about the people that rose up against Daniel got thrown into the den, and before they could touch the ground, their wives, their children, and themselves got snatched up by the lion because they did not have a cultivated inner life. So their outer life had to suffer as a result of it. So you never know what God is going to present to you. Because what we just talked about was some impossibilities. It's impossible to get out of a fiery furnace. It's impossible to come out of a lion's den. And yet, it happened. Never say never. You don't know what God has in store for you. And now their test has become their testimony that we're still talking about some 2,500 years later. Never say never, family, because God is taking us somewhere. He's got something for us to do, and we've got to believe him no matter what things appear to be. The lesson from Daniel and the Hebrew boys is, first of all, don't shrink away from fasting. Don't. This is not the life application. We ain't there yet. But don't shrink away from fasting. Don't be afraid of putting something down. Don't use the excuses, well, I didn't start last week, so I'll wait till next year. No, you don't. Because if you were here last week, you know God called a church-wide fast from whatever has been keeping us unhealthy. That's what he called for. And, you know, I'm not going to micromanage you, so I'm not going to run behind you and ask everybody what you're fasting from, because you're not accountable to me. You accountable to him. See, if I had to keep up, I had to get my iPad out. I have to try to put your names down and what you decide. The Lord, he don't need no iPad. He already knows. And if you haven't started fasting, you need to start fasting, because there's some things that can only come out through prayer and fasting. And you don't know what's going to happen in your outer life, so we want to make sure our inner life is intact. Because storms are on their way. I'm sorry to tell you, I hate to be the newscaster, but storms are on the way. And if you in a situation where your storm ain't on the way, then you in your storm. That's where you find yourself, in your storm. And yet, we're supposed to praise him, trust him, believe him, turn to him. It's not the time when you're in your storm to try to take your boat out and go your own way, because I guarantee you're going to lose sight of where you're headed, and you're going to find yourself lost and turned out. You're going to have a hard time getting back to where you was trying to be, because you decided to do it on your own. Now, there's some things that we really need to learn from Daniel and his three friends. First, we've got to be willing to make a sacrifice. We've got to sacrifice. We've got to let God take us beyond our limits. We've got to let go of something that is important to us, something that we value. Somebody needs to release that social networking. Hello, somebody. They don't want to say hello, mama. They don't want to say hello. They trying to say goodbye. We gotta let go of something that we're gonna miss. You know, you already heard me say before, don't fast from raisins if you don't eat raisins anyway. That's not a fast. That's a lie. Fast from that fried chicken. Fast from them devil places that we talked about last week. Every time I walk, drive by one, I'm like, the devil. That ain't nothing but the devil. You know, and believe me when God says that they are the devil. I mean, they may not have started out being the devil. They may not have meant to be the devil. But somehow the devil got a hold and they began to create all kind of obesity in our country. That is not of God. Sacrifice. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. The second thing, we've got to be able to surrender. To just throw it down and let God do God. You know, it's a beautiful thing when God can just be God in your life. When he don't have to be the God you created with the script that you have given him and the space that you have given him to work in. When we allow God to just be God, incredible things start to happen in our life. I'm telling you, miracles start to pour down in our life. Things that we thought only happened to other people start to happen to us. When we surrender and let God be God. I'm trying to tell you, one time I was broke as a joke, but my life was surrendered to the Lord. For some reason, I decided to clean out this file cabinet. I mean, taking the drawers out, just a full cleaning out thereof. Do you know in the last, it's like seven drawers, in the last drawer, I pulled it out. Underneath that drawer was a crisp folded $100 bill. Never say never. We take too much into our own hands and think we got to work stuff out for ourselves. You work it out, you're going to work it up. I mean, you're going to tear it up. You're going to mess it up, and you're going to regret it, and then you're going to be mad. And sometimes people get mad at God. What you mad at God for? He didn't do it. You did. Well, God didn't show up for me. He showed up, but you walked out the room. He showed up, but you the one that left, not him. When we surrender our lives to God, it gives him an opportunity to just be who he is. And some of y'all ought to take the reins off of your life and just give it to God. You ought to be tired of being a mess by now. You ought to be sick and tired of being sick and tired by now. You ought to be tired of struggling by now. You ought to be tired of trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck by now. You ought to be tired of going through the same thing over and over again, expecting different results by now. If that is you, I encourage you to surrender your life to God today. We've got to sacrifice. We've got to surrender, and we've got to stand. We got to stand on the word of God. We've got to stand on what we know by God. We've got to stand on the promises of God. Just because your promise didn't come through yet don't mean he forgot about you. Stop praying that same prayer. Don't you know he gets sick of you praying that same prayer over and over? He heard you the first time. Stop praying that same daggone prayer. Just start thanking him for it until you get it. And if you ain't got it yet, praise him even harder. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Some of y'all ain't got no blessings coming down because you ain't praising him. Stand on the word of God and know that what he says is true. If he said it, it will happen. Not in our time, but in his time. Just as it should be. Stand on the promise and commitment to being your best self. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belteshazzar did not know what the future held for them, but they stayed ready, Demaya, so they didn't have to get ready. That's what God calls us to do. That's how you stand. You don't stand in a I'm trying to get ready position. I'm trying to work it out position. You stand in I'm ready for whatever God brings my way because I know with me and God, I'm in the majority. It could be a fiery furnace. It could be a den of lions. It could be a sea that needs to be parted. Whatever it is, God's got it. Whatever it is, God's got it. And the only reason why we don't have it is when we walk away from it. Sacrifice, surrender, stand, and saturate. Now, we got to stand on the word of God, but we got to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. Because you see, you know, some of you have heard me say this before, but it's still just as true today that some of y'all got your little Holy Ghost wrapped around your ankle somewhere that ain't doing none of the rest of your body a bit of good. Some of you got your little Holy Ghost hidden back there behind your kidneys, your bladder, your spleen. You got it sneaked up hidden behind your spine. When we supposed to have so much Holy Ghost on the inside of us that it pours out, and like I said, we leave puddles. We leave residue. We leave evidence of the God that is within us. If a child of God goes somewhere and there's no God left behind, you don't have enough Holy Ghost operating in your life. Did you hear what I said? You got enough Holy Ghost, but you don't have enough Holy Ghost operating in your life. Because somebody ought to step where you've been and just feel some kind of quickening in their spirit just because you've been there. Because you got too much Holy Ghost working in your life for it to be contained in that little body of yours. I don't care how fat you are, it's little compared to your Holy Ghost. And if you're not at a saturation point where your Holy Ghost is overflowing, where people look at you and just feel joy just because they see your face, you're not saturated. There needs to be more trust in the God within. We need to rely on the God within that's been broken off of the God of gods in order that we can be as awesome as he is. Never say never, family. Never say never. Now, that little engine that could, when she was on her way up that hill, she was encouraging herself. She was giving herself a positive affirmation. She was saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then she got to the top. She was like, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. And then when she got over the hill, she was like, I thought I could. I thought I could. I thought I could. We got to give ourselves positive affirmations along the way. We've got to believe in ourselves before we have arrived at our destination. So, family, stop limiting yourself. Stop believing in all that negativity that the world keeps trying to put on you. Stop speaking all that defeat into your life. Stop telling you yourself what you cannot do. God keeps telling me, family, that our best is yet to come. So don't trust in what it feels like. Don't trust in appearances. Just let God be God. There's more for us than we can see right now. Take the limits off of God and let him have his way in your life and with these fasts. Daniel knew that he would be better if he ate differently. God told me the other day that when you put fasting and prayer together, it's a turbo boost. It will take your prayer life to a whole nother level if you just put some fasting on that praying. And I'm trying to tell you, a whole lot can happen in 40 days. You can check the record and see about what happened to Noah in 40 days, what happened to Jesus, what happened to Moses, what happened to all the people of God in a matter of 40 days. God has done some incredible things in 40 short days. And he has us on a journey, family, and you can't expect to be the same coming out as you were going in. And if you were, then you failed in your effort at fasting, because it's not about equal fasting or equal sacrifice. It's about the heart of the one who's making the sacrifice. Somebody might need to let go of meat. Somebody else might need to let go of TV. It doesn't matter what it is as long as it means something to you. So coming out of this, expect to be transformed. Expect to be better than you were, than you were going in. Expect other people to be able to see a difference in you, and expect the enemy to have an attitude with you. But claim for yourself your brand new you. Claim your healing, your deliverance, claim your saturation, your ability to overcome. And it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? And who is they anyway? And what have they done for you? God did not call you to be mediocre, garden variety, run of the mill. He called you to excellence. He called you to your personal best. He called you to go farther than the people that are around you. He called you to shine like the sun, to glow like the moon, to flow like the waves, to stand like the oak, and to speak like the wind. You are more than you think you are. So when God challenged you to go beyond where your mind thinks you can go, stop resisting. Stop saying, I can't, I won't, I don't. Stop telling yourself you'll never get there. Because God says you're going to make it. You're going to achieve your goal. God says, I will work it out for you if you would just believe. So never say never. Say, Lord, if it is your will, it shall be done. I'm trying to go back to school. Lord, if it is your will, it shall be done. I need a new car. Lord, if it is your will, it shall be done. I need to get my health together. If it's your will, it shall be done. Lord, I want a new relationship. If it's your will, it shall be done. I want to be healed of diseases. If it is your will, oh God, it shall be done. Free me from addiction. If it is your will, it shall be done. Never say never. Because where we can't, God can. So don't give up when the going gets rough, family. Because other people around you gonna fall by the wayside. I'm letting you know right now. So when they fall off, you won't be surprised. But you just keep pressing forward. You just keep pressing your way, knowing that Jesus is the author and finisher, the perfecter and the pioneer of your faith. And believe in yourself for God's sake. Believe you are amazing. Believe you are powerful. Believe you are anointed. Believe you are blessed. Believe you are loved. Believe you are brilliant. And know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Know that he always will be with us, even until the end of the age. We don't have the authority to use those words, but what God has given us the authority to do is obey his word. It's time to bind up and cast out all the negativity that's been slinking and dinking around in our lives. We walk in the room and look in the mirror and just start thinking negative thoughts. It's time to let that go. It's time to take a different look at who you are. It's time to recognize I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And whatever I need to work on, he's going to work on in me. Because every time I try to do it, I mess it up. I get it right for a little while, but then I go right back to who I used to be. So now I need to surrender and let God do what God wants to do in me. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about on today? Because you got to work on that inner life so that when the outer life begins to blow and winds begin to rain, you can do whatever you need to do to stay right in line with the will of God. Because when the storms blow and the winds rise, you can still move forward in him. You might walk a little bit slower. You might have to brace yourself a little bit harder. But you can still move forward in your storm if your life is cultivated in him. I praise God for Daniel's testimony and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's testimony because they made a commitment to God not knowing where God was going to take them. And that's what this fast is all about. That's what this Lenten season is all about. Because see, when Jesus was with his disciples, he told them where he was headed, but they didn't understand. And they didn't believe. And they were in denial. Because who wants to hear that your master, your teacher, your friend is going to die? Nobody wants to hear that. So they were in denial about it. But Jesus was preparing them all along the way. And even though there was only one disciple that was there with Jesus while he died, that doesn't mean that the other 11, that there are 10, because Judas killed himself, the other 10s, their hearts were with him. Their outer life couldn't match their inner life. Only John had enough inner life to be able to stand at that cross at the outer life. But that didn't mean that they didn't love Jesus. That didn't mean they weren't committed to Jesus. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But what he's telling us today is we got to work on what's going on in here. Get to know who you really are. You're not the color of your hair. You are not your hair. You're not the color of your skin. You are not your skin. You are more than what you can see with your physical eye. So take some time this week to get to know yourself. Stop trying to spend time with everybody else. And when you by yourself, talking about I'm lonely. You should never be lonely when you by yourself. Because who's going to keep you company? Yourself. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. It's going to be Jesus and yourself that's going to be right there with you. And if you can't enjoy your company, then you need to get yourself to a place where you like being you. Because I don't know about you, but I enjoy my own company. You ought to be able to enjoy your own company. It's okay to make your own self laugh. It's okay to take your own self out on a date. I'm trying to tell you, you never know. You never know what God's gonna do, champion. You took yourself out on a date. Champion loved on himself enough to take himself out on a date. And guess what God did? God sent his bride. God sent his bride when he took himself out on a date. You never know. But if he had been one of those people that's insecure about being by themselves, no, I don't want to go to the movies and sit by myself because I'm going to look crazy. Especially I'm going to see Why Did I Get Married? I'm going to look crazy. But he wasn't worried about that. He wasn't worried about that because the teaching was about loving on yourself and spending quality time with Jesus. And he did just that. And in that moment, God sent his bride. Whew. You want your inner life to match your outer life. So when stuff starts to happen in your outer life, your inner life is going to have you just stay. You're going to be right there. Not wavering to the left or the right, but letting God work it out for you. I'm trying to tell you, enjoy your fast. Get into a zone. Prepare ahead. Because if you don't prepare ahead, you know you're going to mess up on your fast. If you don't pack your lunch, if you don't get your groceries, if you don't cook the night before, whatever you need to do, you're going to mess up. And then you're going to find yourself eating with the devil. Dining with the devil. I might preach that one day. Don't dine with the devil. Don't do it. That's a good word. I'm trying to tell you, Mickey D's is the devil. Wendy's is the devil. You better start driving by and seeing them horns and pitchforks. You better recognize. Everybody stand all over you. Stand all over the room to your feet, please. Stand all over the room. You never know what God has in store for you, so never say never. He might be calling you to preach. He might be calling you to sing. He might be calling you to teach. He might be calling you to raise up young men. He might be calling you to lead a teen ministry. He might be calling you to start a ministry. Never say never. You never know what God has in store for you. But if you don't allow your inner life to be developed, you're going to miss the call of God. You're going to deny it. You're going to shrink back from it. You're going to think, oh, he's talking to somebody else. He can't possibly be talking to me because I ain't never wanted to do this. You need to understand, I grew up my whole life dancing. I was a good dancer. I loved to dance. I did ballet, tap, jazz, African. I did it all. You get a little glimpse of it in praise and worship. You get a little taste of it. That's who I thought I was going to be. That's what I trained for. That's what I prepared for. They all saw me wink at you. Now they're looking at you. We got a secret. That's what I prepared for. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't prepare to be a preacher or a pastor. I had a friend in church I used to sit next to every Sunday, and we would talk about what we wanted to be. And I was like, I want to be a dancer. She said she wanted to be a preacher. I was like, I don't want to be no preacher. I remember saying that. And look at who God created me to be. Look at how it turned out. Who would have thought? Never say never, because you just don't know. Who would have thought that I would have trained my mother in the middle? This is my queen. I look up to her. I adore her. If God would have told me, you're going to teach her how to be a preacher, I'd have been like, Lord, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's how I would have been talking to the Lord. No, I'm not. But he just slid it right on in. He just slid it right on in. Never say never. You don't know what God has in store for you. I hope you're getting this today. Take the limits off of your thinking about yourself. And just let God be God. Work on you being you. And let God be God. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to ask you to come forward because I'm just believing we're on one accord in here today. And so if you're with me, I just want you to raise your hand.